Well, folks, this is a new day. It is a different day. We're going to look in God's Word this morning. We have emailed you a copy of my notes. One of the files reads filled. One of the files is unfilled. If you want to fill in the blanks, you can. If not, you can just follow along, and then you can print them off later. The purpose of my time with you this morning is to encourage you, because this pandemic is truly unprecedented. We are living currently in a state of emergency, and we see it everywhere we turn. There is panic buying because of fear. The coronavirus has altered life as we know it. This pandemic has brought us to a staunch reality that we are not in total control. In fact, we are out of control. And that force upon our lives can change the path that we were on. And your church is here for you. Today I want to encourage you. Today I want to try to calm your fears, because people are afraid. People are stockpiling because they don't want to be in want. They don't want to be left without the staples and the necessities of life. And we've seen all the jokes and the postings on social media. But the reality is, people are afraid because they don't want to be in want. Psalm 23 grounds us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, Lord, are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's what God says. God says that I will take care of your needs, and he calls upon us to trust him. Even in the valley? Yeah. Especially in the valley. And this pandemic that we are in the midst of now is that kind of a valley. And this psalm tells us that we can walk without fear in that valley, in the midst of that virus. From this psalm, we learn a few things. We learn that this pandemic will not last, but that we will go through it together. Here's a couple things that we learn from the history of pandemics, and I don't want to be morbid here this morning, but a couple things we learn from the history of pandemics. Number one is we learn that it won't last. Every epidemic and pandemic follow a cycle. Now follow me. The cycle that they follow is there is an increase, they grow, often very rapidly. Then there is a peak, and then there is an inevitable decline. And what health officials have been telling us, that we need to be people who are about reducing that peak. You understand? We need to be people who are actively involved in reducing the number of new infections. That's what it means to reduce the peak. That's when you hear on the news about reducing the peak, that's what they're talking about. And there are some common sense practices that we've all become all too familiar with. We hear about quarantining those who are symptomatic. We hear about self-quarantining or self-isolating when there's possible contact. And how many of you have washed your hands more in the last 2 weeks than perhaps you have in your entire life? We talk about protecting the most vulnerable and avoiding public contact, especially contact in settings where we cannot isolate ourselves. And we follow these. These are just some common sense regulations and principles, and we want to help reduce the peak. This pandemic is going to have implications. So this morning I'm really talking to my church family. The implications are, some of them are being felt right now. How are we going to help our kids? The kids who are out of school. The kids who are going to need to be caught up. All of those implications of families now that may be down to one income or no income. Because this pandemic will have an impact on the financial situation we find ourselves in. We are going to take an economic hit on this. How are we going to be the body of Christ and help each other at Community Bible Church? How are we going to help our communities? There are just some questions to think about. So today, I want to do one major thing. I want to increase and I want to strengthen your confidence. I want you to move from fear to faith. That's really what I want you to do. I came across a quote from Max Lucado this week that was just encouraging. He said, "Feed your faith and your fears will starve. Feed your fears, your faith will starve." I'm going to say that again. Feed your faith and your fears will starve. Feed your fears and your faith will starve. Today I want to feed your faith. Today I want to encourage you. As the church gathered in a whole lot of different locations. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, we read these words. Our hope for you is unshaken because we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. If you're looking at that verse in your Bible or on your note sheet, notice three phrases. Highlight them, underline them, or write them down. The first phrase is the phrase, our hope. The second phrase is unshaken. And the third phrase is, because we know. Now tie all those together. Our hope is unshaken because we know. You ready for this? What we know gets us through. What we know gives us confidence. So today, in the valley that we find ourselves, I want to remind you of some things. I want to remind you of seven things this morning as we're facing that valley. Because the Bible stresses the importance of knowing, getting the facts right. So there are some things I want to remind you about, Community Bible Church. As you're sitting at home, maybe you're on your phone, maybe you're on your iPad, maybe you've got it up on your television with your family, maybe you're sitting in your office with your computer. There are some things I want to remind you of. Number one, remember, not everything is true. Remember that. By the way, I want to give credit where credit is due. I grabbed this outline from Rick Warren's address to his church last week. It is just fabulous, so I wanted to give credit where credit is due. Number one, remember, not everything is true. Not everything I hear, not everything I read is true. You're going to be surprised to hear this. Not everything on the internet is true. Not everything on the news is true. Not everything you see on your television or hear on your radio is true. Not everyone who is communicating through those mediums, frankly, knows what they're talking about. You need to be people who are selective. You need to be people that are discerning. I love the Message's paraphrase of Proverbs 14:15. The gullible believe anything they're told, but the prudent or the wise sift and weigh every word. That's what we need to be. We need to be realists. We need to understand that not everything we hear is true. You're going to hear a lot of news. You're going to hear a lot of fault-finding and blaming. You're going to even hear conspiracy theories. Be selective what you listen to. Be discerning what you listen to. and don't fall for scams. Don't fall for quick fixes. Don't fall for the miracle medicines. Be very selective, because not everything is true. Proverbs 13:16, every prudent man or every wise man acts with knowledge, but the fool flaunts his folly. Community Bible Church, in responding to this pandemic, it is a very serious one. Don't live your life acting out of feelings or fear or fads or fallacies. Conduct your life based on fact and faith. Proverbs 18, verse 13 in the New Living Translation. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. That's true. Proverbs packs a powerful punch. Proverbs 18, verse 2. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. And that is all over social media. Be selective. Be very careful. Because not everything that you're hearing and reading is true. Proverbs 23:23, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Do you remember the Old Living Bible? The Old Living Bible paraphrased that verse, get the facts at any price. Ladies and gentlemen, may I encourage you this day, in this day that we're surrounded by so many opinions, be people of truth. Be people of the facts. In our electronic bulletin that went out this week, I encouraged people to go to several websites. One of them was Canada Health. It's on your it's on your email if you have a look at it. And the other one is the CDC in the U.S. If you want to have facts about this pandemic that we are in, go there. Go to the professionals, go to the experts that know what they're talking about. Because remember, not everything that you're reading or seeing is true. Number two, remember, not everyone is at equal risk. Not everyone is at equal risk. There was a book I read the statistic from. It was a 2004 book about the coronavirus. And the book actually was identifying the most vulnerable. And we've heard this on the news. The most vulnerable are those over 60 with pre-existing conditions, because those pre-existing conditions weaken the immunity system. Respiratory issues, cancer, liver disease, heart disease, and so on. So, folks, we need to recognize something. Not everyone is at equal risk, but everyone can carry it. So we need to protect the most vulnerable. We need to protect those who really can't protect themselves. If you are one of the people who would be considered the most vulnerable, stay home. Be wise. Be very careful. This COVID-19 coronavirus is not the seasonal flu. It's 10 times more potent. This COVID-19, it's very interesting. In some of my reading, I've been finding out that this is what they call a novel virus. By novel virus, I'm speaking of it. There are two characteristics of what they would call a novel virus. Number one, that we have no prior immunity to it. And number two, we have no vaccine for it. The two things that help slow the spread of a virus are not available to us: immunity and vaccination. So be cautious. Be careful where you go. Be careful who you talk to. be careful where you confine yourself. Remember, not everything is true. Remember, not everyone is at equal risk. Number three, remember, this will pass. Here's an encouraging word for all of us. This pandemic didn't come to stay. It came to pass. We will go through this together, and I'm calling on all of us to trust God together. I'm calling on all of us in the midst of our fears to feed our faith, because feeding our faith will starve our fears. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter said to a church that was going through times of change, they were having their own pandemic, it was called persecution. Peter said, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised. Why is there this disease? Why have we been chosen to be the generation that is going through this time of pandemic? I think we have to take even a further step back. Why disease? Why sickness? Because ever since sin entered the world has been broken. The earth has been broken. Our health has been broken. Even the weather has been broken. Listen to Isaiah 24, verses 5 and then verse 19. "The earth lies defiled under its inhabitants. They have transgressed the laws, the statutes. They have broken the everlasting covenant. The earth is split apart. The earth is violently shaken." Yeah. That about nails it. That's Genesis chapter 3 in a nutshell. Could God have gotten rid of all of these problems? Could God have stopped this pandemic from happening? Of course he could. And one day he will. One day he will create a new heaven and a new earth. But until that day, the book of Romans chapter 8 tells us that all of creation, I'm going to do this even though I know most of you are in a place where you can't yell back at me like you usually do. Romans 8 tells us that all of creation, what? Groans. It groans. It's struggling under the weight of the fallenness of our creation. Remember something, this is not heaven. This is not. But also remember that this will pass. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 17 and 18. "For this light momentary affliction," and it doesn't feel like that right now, "is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen." That's really good news, folks. We are looking to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That's good news. Remember, this will pass. Number four, take some time to remember and to focus on what is unchanging. I know some of you have a hard time believing this, but I used to have teachers that would come up to me in school and say, "Byron, focus, focus, focus." I still have people say that to me. We are living in such a day of change. The change is unprecedented. The change is moving at breakneck speed. I was talking to a customs agent who said that the information is coming into their office by the hour. Change. Most of us don't like change. But now we are being deluged with it. There will be changes in the months to come. There will be changes probably in the years to come. Do you remember 9/11? We are still feeling the effects of the changes of 9/11. The key to having confidence in changing days, I'm going to say this very carefully. The key to having confidence in changing and uncertain days is to focus on the things that are unchanging. In the midst of uncertainty, folks, I need a place to stand. I listed 12 of them for you. God's word never changes. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Here's another thing that never changes. God sees everything that I'm going through. Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6. Number 3, God cares about everything I am going through. Matthew 10, 26 to 31. Number 4, God is powerful to answer prayer. Philippians 4, 6, Matthew 7, 7. Number 5, God always acts out of his goodness toward me. Isn't that good to know? Romans 8, 28. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Number 6, God always acts to the glory of his name. Ephesians 1, 4, 5, and 6. Number 7, God's plan is always better than my plan. It's good to know. Because my plans often fall flat. Isaiah 55, 8, Psalm 33, 11, Jeremiah 29, 11. Number 8, God is always faithful to provide for my needs. Always. God is no man's debtor. Matthew 6, 25 to 33. Number 9, God always has a purpose for us. He always has something for us to do, even when we can't see it. Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Number 10, God will never stop loving me. That never changes, folks. Romans 8, 39. Number 11, the gospel never changes. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we don't have to keep redefining the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to a sin-cursed world and died to bear the penalty of our sin? And that through repentance and faith, we can know everlasting life and everlasting forgiveness and the eternal love of God through trusting in him. Aren't you glad that message never changes? James 1:17, 2 Timothy 2:13, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. Aren't you glad the gospel never changes? Number 12, I cannot lose my salvation once I've trusted in Jesus Christ. That never changes. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. That is good news. That is a truth that never changes. 2 Timothy 1:12, I know the one in whom I have placed my trust, and I am convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what I have placed in his trust until that day. So in days of change, remember to focus on what is unchanging. Number 5. No matter what I am going through, God will go through it with me. No matter what I am going through, God will go through it with me. Sometimes you don't get this and feel this. Sometimes you have a hard time sensing it. But you are never really alone, whether you feel it or not. Our God is not a feeling. He is a person who has promised, when you go through deep waters, Isaiah 43:2, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. He is right there with you. So can I encourage you this morning? Spend less time going to the internet and more time looking in God's Word. Here's what will happen. He will replace your panic with prayer. He will. He will replace your worry with worship, and He will take your anxiety and replace it with adoration. Because you remember something, you remember that whatever I am going through, whether you're sitting at home feeling anxious, whether you're in a car right now listening, that whatever you're going through, He is there with you. And you're never alone. Number six. Remember, this is not the end of the story. In the notes I emailed you, it was my mistake, not Jamie Ann's. It was my mistake. I typed in the word, remember, this is not the end of the world. I meant to say, this is not the end of the story. Because God is working out His eternal story, His eternal plan, and this isn't the end of it. He is working to completion His grand and great plan of redemption, and COVID-19 will not have the last word. Coronavirus will not have the last word. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, then he says something very powerful and potent, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. Know this, folks. Even if COVID-19 took this body of mine, my hope is secure because the story doesn't end here. To live with hope means that we live in light of eternity. We recognize that this is not the end of the story. God's writing His story, and you're part of it. And in Christ, you are part of it, and you cannot lose. This is not the end of the story. Because one day, Revelation 21:4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. No, the end of the story is when God says the story's done. And it's not yet. Number seven. Remember, God wants to use me to help others. God doesn't just want to get you through this. God doesn't just want to protect you through this and keep you healthy through this. God wants to use you through this. So, yes, isolate. Yes, practice social distancing. Yes, quarantine if necessary, but don't lose touch. Don't lose touch with the body of Christ. Don't lose touch with this church family. Don't lose touch with your life group. Every crisis is an open door for ministry. So my call to CBC is, as we see sort of the encroaching darkness of our world, outshine the darkness. Outshine it. In the 1300s, when the bubonic plague overwhelmed Europe and Asia, people moved out of the cities because that's where everybody was infected and struggling and suffering. Christians moved into the cities. Now, they didn't have the technology that we have then, have now. They don't have this. They didn't have the scientific knowledge that we have now. They didn't even know what a virus was at that time. And I'm not saying to be foolish, but I am saying be compassionate. I'm not saying to be careless, but I am reminding us that we are the body of Christ. This is where hospitals came from. Hospitals were not founded by governments. Hospitals were founded by Christians who were compassionate to the government, or I'm sorry, to the vulnerable. They were founded by Christian people who remembered a very important principle, that God wants to use us in these times of crisis to help those around them. So don't be foolish and don't be careless, but be compassionate. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, we read, "Now you are the body of Christ." Encouraging each and every one of you who are listening to me and watching this morning, be the body of Christ. Call a vulnerable person, a senior, someone who is sick. Text them. Email them. FaceTime them. Offer to get groceries if you're healthy. If you're able to move around, offer to get them groceries. Coordinate a payment plan if necessary. Bring it to their doorstep. Leave it on their doorstep. Let them know that you're leaving it on their doorstep. And then walk away. You're putting yourself in a place of compassion with low or no contact. If you're in the high-risk category, vulnerable, stay in touch with your life group. Call the church. Let the church know what you're going through. Stuart and Mary Smith have started a prayer group over Zoom. Zoom is a networking platform that multiple people can communicate and talk and see each other on their computers. And they've started this for 9:45. I think on Sunday mornings. Let the church know how we can pray for you. Let the church know how we can help you. Fellowship by phone. Who'd ever thought we'd be doing this? You know what I'm praying for you, church family? Came across a verse in 3 John that I'm praying for you as a church. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. That's what I'm praying for you. Our elders, we are meeting daily via Zoom to be able to best care for this church. So please let us know what you need. Please let us know your concerns. Please let us know how we can help you. I'm reminded of John 13:35 that says, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another." May I give you 6 things to help you stay connected with this, your church family? Number one, let us know how we can contact you. Call us at the church. Email jamieann@communitybible.ca and let us know your contact information. We need to know how to get a hold of you. We need to know how to let you know of what's going on in the life of the church. Email Jamieann and ask her to sign you up for our electronic email bulletin that comes out every week and our elder updates that are coming out now weekly. If you're able and you're still able to give, you can do that through either dropping off your offering here or doing it electronically. And all of the information has been emailed to you, and it's also on the website. Keep up with what's going on in the life of the church. Go to our website at communitybible.ca. Watch our live services, and we'll keep having these for as long as we have to. And connect with us if you have any concerns or needs. Hey, if you need groceries, we want to help. We want to try to serve you if you can't get out. Community Bible Church, you are loved greatly. And I'm looking out and I see two faces looking back at me, and they're very friendly faces. But I miss the rest of you. And I'm thinking about all of you sitting out there. So I'm kind of putting faces in the pews right now. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. Thank you for the part that you've played in the life of this church and continue to do. And let's keep praying. Let's keep praying that our great big sovereign God continues to work to bring healing and restoration to our nation. May our God use this to bring a great time of revival to our church and to our nation. My prayer today is that each and every one of you will turn your eyes upon Jesus and allow him to take your worry and turn it to worship, your panic and turn it into prayer, your anxiety, turn it into adoration. May we be filled with confidence and hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Encourage the body of Christ. Encourage Community Bible Church. And in all things, we give thanks to the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us.